book and a bed. Welcome back to another episode of A Book and a Bev. Don't know why I did that in like such a weird voice, but here we are. We are your hosts, Georgia, Brani, Ellie, here to make your ears cream.
Oh my God. Why are they creaming? That's a fungal infection.
I was going to say us cream pieing your ears, but I was also then like, well, we don't have penises and I don't know if we can scoop. No.
No. Were you just implying that we could scoop Vab and place it in our listeners' ears?
Yeah, she was. Okay. That was a thing that was occurring.
Anyway, we're back with Heart Number Thry.
What?
Heart Thry of Empire of Storms. Happy days. Get ready for trauma. Absolute fuck off trauma. You are not ready. We are not ready.
No.
We better get into it.
Well, I'm drinking Jack and Coke for Lorcan's magic still.
I'm drinking this Good Tide sparkling water and vodka mango flavor. Ooh. And the reason it's Good Tide because sex at the beach, Good Tide.
Oh my God.
It's got the dead turtles in it.
Well, I'm on the waters from probably for the near distant future because your girl doesn't have a drinking problem, but it's getting quite close to it. So we're just taking a step back from weekly alcohol consumption for a little while.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Just time to tone it back a little bit. I'm not about that mummy wine culture. So I've got my Coleridge water.
Let's dive in. Chapter 53, Empire of Storms. Let's go.
All right. So Lorcan and Aleed are heading towards Ilwe, but then Lorcan's Shadow of Death pushes him towards the stone marshes.
It actually just trips him over.
Yeah, it's actually just like, psych! Get fucked! just kicks him straight in the butt. He just like falls over. What the fuck was that?
Oh, a funny joke.
Anyway, so yeah, they head off to the stone marshes, and when they arrive, Alita's like, wow, this place feels really off. The vibes are iffy. Iffy vibes, if you will.
And again, she's what you'd call a trained observer. She's looking around at this like dead wasteland and she's like, I feel like this place is bad.
Iffy vibes. She like puts up a blade of grass, like throws it in the air. The wind catches it. She's like, iffy.
That's my synopsis, is iffy.
The vibes are iffy, but don't matter. They're on their journey. They're traveling. They have been traveling for a few days through the marshes, and Lorcan has basically carried a lead when they sense they aren't alone, which...
He's just picked her up like Luke Skywalker and Yoda.
He's just like, come on.
Literally. There are like these crazy-ass monsters, things just creeping around in the marshes. One night, they're like camping out, and she asks about Maeve, and Lorcan is like, I'm in love with her. Which, mate, you really need to look into that.
Yeah. You need some deep, deep therapy time.
And Alita's like, I don't think you know what that means. Which, we all agree with that statement. Then Lorcan says that he doesn't mind being with Alita. And it's very cute. That's like the bare minimum.
He's like,
shout out to the white man for doing the bare minimum.
Fuck, I don't mind being with you. Okay, thanks.
It hits it for Alita. Alita's like, fuck yeah. And offers him a place in Perinth should he ever need it. So that's really good.
I'm so sorry, but that is seriously like, I don't mind your existence. And she's like, come live with me in my land.
But we get this really cute moment, and the quote is, she rose up slightly, replacing her mouth where her fingers had been. The kiss was soft and quiet and brief, barely a grazing of her lips against him. She thought Lorcan might have been trembling as she pulled back, as heat loomed across her cheeks, but she made herself say, surprised to find her voice steady, you do not need to answer me now or ever. You could show up on my doorstep in 10 years, and the offer would still stand. But there is a place for you in Perrant if you should ever need or wish for it.
I love a lead.
Her and her giant titties. Fuck
me up, fam.
Sweetie.
Lorcan kisses her. It's beautiful. They kiss together and they kiss and kiss and kiss, and then the dry humping ensues, and we're all like, oh, cute, awesome. It's just like a giant man and like a very, very small woman though. So their dry humping is probably like like a dog humping your leg.
That's what it really is.
Because he's like, so much taller than her.
Lorcan just looks down and she's just like, don't mind me.
Having a grand old time on his leg.
You just keep going, keep walking. It's probably easier this way. Anyway, so he ends up asking her a silent question.
Oh.
And she whispers her answer. And then, Ilkin.
Oh, no.
We then go to Aelin and the Scooby Gang, and they've been wandering through the marshes for 2 days. Manon and Aelin get to talking about the Eye of Elena, and Manon says, that's not its name. It's the Eye of the Goddess. And she draws a symbol in the ground to demonstrate that it is the three-faced goddess. Manon then explains what exactly happened when the last Crocken Queen fell and how she cursed the land so that the Iron Teeth matrons would win the war, but they would never win the land. She explains that there's only one way to break the curse, and it's this old rhyme, right? They just lay down some sick beats and this is it.
Gang signs.
I have no rhythm, so I will not be rapping this, but just know it. The intention is there. Oh my god, no. Spoken word. Okay.
Go.
Okay,
blood
Georgia.
To blood and soul to soul. Together. Oh. This was done? I don't know.
this was done?
And only together it can be undone. Be the bridge. Be the light. When iron melts, when flowers spring from a field of blood, let the land be witness and return home.
I love how your version of blood is literally someone just yeeting them.
Just a little bit of self-harm out there for you.
Fuck it up. I honestly paid no attention to that. Oh, I was too busy.
Yeah, look, for those that need a repeat. Blood to blood and soul to soul, together this was done, and only together it can be undone. Be the bridge, be the light, when iron melts, when flowers spring from a field of blood, let the land be witness and return home.
Fuck it cool. up.
Fenris and Gabriel think it's too weird that Aelin and Manon's paths have like perfectly aligned for this moment, and they're not the first person to have a thought like this in the book, being like, wow, there's a lot of coincidences. Mm. They think like something or someone has been playing a game and that they're falling into the trap.
Mm.
Fenris tells Rowan that he thinks that Maeve will wait when Aelin is her weakest and attempt to destroy her then. He says that they were given an order to behead and burn Lorcan because he and Rowan are the strongest fae and she doesn't want Aelin and Lorcan also making an alliance. Maeve's a bit insecure and doesn't share her toys. Fenris finally says that he is grateful that he has been able to be a part of this, like Aelin's court, even if it's only for this short time. He asks Rowan to kill him if the order is ever given for him to hurt Aelin. And Rowan's like, I'll make it quick, bud. Don't you worry.
He's like, you don't need to worry. I was going to kill you anyway, honestly. Yeah.
Your wish is my command. Well, now we're back with one of our favourite couples, Manon and Dorian, and they're chatting about who will wield the keys at the end. Dorian is like, Aelin will.
Obviously.
And Manon's like,
she is the main character.
It's just like,
she's the one on the cover of the book.
Why would I have any part of this? I just like wearing thongs around my neck and planting peonies in my garden. So Manon is like, sorry, what about you? And Dorian's like, no.
I'm busy.
Because... Sorry, I'm too busy for this. I have other plans after this, you know?
Yeah, my dead Humpty Dumpty, she's dead.
She's dead. Don't I'm gonna understand.
I'm gonna brood around about that for a while.
Yeah.
No and one's fuck, seen me brood.
I've also got a mother and a brother somewhere that I sometimes might think of occasionally.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. No, he ends up telling her that he was the one who killed his father and shattered the castle and really killed his own court in the process, which is a bit like, oops.
So really, Philippa, he should be the one to die.
He would have killed Philippa.
Yeah.
The bastard.
Fucking bastard. Who the else bastard. Is going to get things out of my cooch now?
Exactly right. Jesus Christ, Dorian, he doesn't think things through.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not too sure that he'd make the best decisions with the word keys given the destruction he caused.
That's fair.
And Manon's like, but I like destruction. And then Dorian's like, well, I need to tell you a little story about my headless hoe.
Oh,
and
yay.
Yeah, so he tells her about Sorsha and how much that incident has made him want to seek vengeance. He's going to draw a cat eye sharp enough to kill a man. And he's
vengeance.
Out there. They finally arrive at the marshes and Aelin and Rowan would constantly just stink of whatever the scent is for turned on people, because they just continually look at each other like they want a dry hump just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, it's a lot as a companion on this.
But also do
trip.
It.
Fuck.
Yeah, look, I'd watch it. I would pay good money.
Absolutely.
If they had an OnlyFans.
They could fund the war with that OnlyFans.
Oh my God. They could fund the war. Wow.
Oh. Well, we have a beautiful interaction where Rowan says, "I keep a tally, you know, princess, to remind myself to repay you the next time we're alone for all the truly wonderful things you say." And then Aelin says, "I certainly hope you make me beg for it."
Oh, God.
They end up finding the lock. It's in a chest, which is like, it's a lock in a chest. No.
Yeah.
Aelin asks if she could throw a rock at it, which is like, that's what I'm really good at, you know, rock throwing, if we all remember.
Yeah, pebbles.
I also like she's like, probably booby trap. What do we got to work with? Throw a rock at it. I love that. I'm like, it makes sense.
Or I could use my magical power, or Rowan could like blow on it or something. No, fuck it up.
Rock is old reliable. Sometimes you don't have to fix what's not
old reliable. The pebble, the one that hit that slave right on the head.
as he's rowing to go.
For anyone that wasn't a fan of Assassin's Blade and they skipped it and they're like hopping through the other Throne of Glass episodes, you're like, why are these women talking about stoning slaves? For context.
Singular pebble. So it's not stoning them. And it doesn't, it's not for, it's just,
it's,
we were trying to help
him. It's not an intentional stoning. We were throwing a rock to assist and we were going to knock over some enemies. And then instead we accidentally hit the person in the rowboat.
Yes. And that transformed into just stoning slaves.
Again, we are an explicit podcast that has some very questionable content.
We just have very dry, inappropriate,
dark
humor.
Sense of humor.
Anyway.
So, right, we've got a giant fuck-off rock, and for some reason, no one's really talking in this moment anyway, but then the silence just gets quieter, if that's
the
thing.
It gets silenced, sir. Silenced.
The silence gets silenced.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much. And Rowan's like, oh, I'm aware of this silent feeling. I feel Lorcan vibes. It's like I'm
saying. Vibes are iffy.
And Aelin's like, uh-oh, he's coming for revenge. But Rowan knows that this is his warning signal. He knows. So Rowan scales the tall building. And I don't know why he doesn't just fly.
Look, I wish he would scale me like a tall building, but he's also trying to conserve his magic.
So Rowan scales the tall building as a man and tells them that an aerial legion of 500 Ilken Seam girls are coming for them with their side fringes and their low-rise jeans and their Supre belts.
So Lorcan and Aelin are running as fast as they can. Because
you can't catch me on the gingerbread man.
Exactly. There's been Humpty Dumpty. There's a gingerbread man. Everything's happening. Lorcan is very, very worried about the key that he knows Aelin's got, but he's more worried about Aelin. And we love that. Again, white man doing the bare minimum. Aelin and the Scooby Gang are preparing for the Ilken attack. Aelin says she's going to use the key. Rowan is like, over my dead fucking body, you little bitch. He's like, babe, you got this. Just use your fire noodles. You're right. Basically 8 of them to 500 Ilken.
Some good odds.
So the odds are really good. But they're not going down without a fight, you know? Aelin gets the first shot. She goes out to like the front of the pack and is ready to just let her fire noodles do their twiddly diddly things. And she
twiddly diddly.
She like dives down really deep into her power. Let me get this quote. "The queen of flame and shadow, the heir of fire, Aelin of the wildfire, Fireheart."
Oh, her beautiful little name. We love it.
Pain is good.
It's so good. Rowan is like, remember who you are and remember you are mine.
Oh, so fucking hot.
What'd I do to hear that man say that to me?
So we go to the other side of whatever field they're on, and Lorcan and Aelin are still running. We find out that he slipped the golden ring on her finger this morning. He liked it, so he put a ring on it. The ring that can stop the Valg from possessing you, so that's really nice of him. It's a bit more than the white man doing the bare minimum, but not too much. They finally get to this watery marsh and Lorcan can see Rowan, Dorian, the whole Scooby Gang, and then Aelin just like off to the side on her own. And he's like, oh shit, we are like, we are in her path. This is a problem. Lorcan plummets hard and fast down into the depths of his power.
Down into the depths of my asshole, Jesus.
Oh my god.
Not fast. That is a slow process. You need to ease into that.
I would let him rip me in too.
Oh my gosh.
From the asshole.
From the anus?
From the anus.
He can do it from the belly button if he wanted to. Oh, if he could do it.
He's probably likely going to need some form of oil for that.
That's the only time Ellie will ever consent to using the oil.
Okay. So, Lorcan brings a shield around him and a lead, and just as a wall of arrows attacks the Ilkin, Aelin's wildfire burns a hole straight through the army. The Scooby Gang is, like, working overtime, and because they're just so many fucking Ilkin, anything that Aelin doesn't burn, arrows kill, and then Rowan and Dorian's magic destroys. It's just so sexy the entire time.
So sexy.
I love violence. Aelin
is... I love violence.
Aelin thinks that there has to be a price for all of Aelin's power. He thinks of the saying, nameless is my price.
Hang on, I've got a theory. She cannot be nameless. She can't be nameless because she has too many names to be nameless.
She's got so many names.
She's actually got so many names that they actually are all negative, so they cancel each other out. She's got no names.
Aelin's firestorm is burning bright when Rowan goes for a casual stroll through it, heading straight for her. Lorcan keeps his shield up through all of this magic. The only thing that's keeping him going is knowing he has to protect a lead. He sees Rowan meet Aelin and wind, ice, and fire magic wink out. Rowan kisses Aelin, and all that is remaining of her power is a fire crown atop her head, and then a twin of that crown appears around Rowan's head. Lorcan watches them and knows that Aelin's power is unlike anything, and he feels this tug, like he knows it's the same tug that Fenris must feel because we're all just yanking on their dicks.
Oh, God!
There's three of us.
We've got one, and we're just... And, like, it's stretched.
The reason he feels that tug and thinks Fenris feels it as well because he looks at Fenris, and Fenris is, like, halfway across the marshes, just, like, walking to Aelin, staring at her like she's their god. And we've got that whole thing where it's, like, power calls to power among the Fae. So he's picking up on the vibes, and they are not, in fact, iffy. Aelin gets up and stares at them, and she realizes that these eight people killed an entire legion. Lorcan realizes that Aelin has used her magic, like, everything she had, and is vulnerable. Open. He's like to Aelin, let's go say hi to your bestie. And he's so focused on getting to Aelin that he doesn't notice that Gabriel and Fenris have disappeared now.
Ruh-roh.
So Lorcan is walking ahead, and Aelin briefly thought that it might look bad if they approach together. So she's like, I'm just going to hang back. And Lorcan's like, wow, I told you that I mildly like your presence around me. And this is how you respond.
This is how you repay me?
Exactly. You little bitch. So he starts walking ahead, and that weird voice that seems to follow Aelin around tells her to look and to see.
Open your fucking eyes, bitch.
Anise?
She says.
Yeah, Anise.
Stop, look, and listen.
Stop. Look and listen, baby.
Stop, drop, and roll.
She does just do that. She stops, she looks, she listens, and she sees a giant cat in the bush.
Taking a shit in the shrubbery.
Just locked eyes with her as it's squatted. After he does that, he wipes himself, and then he launches himself for Lorcan.
He launches the turd.
He grabs the turd with his paw.
He's a crap catapulter, as they say.
He is.
A crap cat catapulter. What the fuck?
No. I don't understand. Okay. Lorcan and Gabriel end up going blows to blows, but not in that way.
Or loads to loads.
Just so much dick.
Everyone else is just sitting there like, has anyone got some popcorn? Like... This is great.
They're just like, what is going on over there?
Yeah, all right. Elaine's like, oh, should I just leave? You mildly don't like me, so I guess.
She's just got her baps and she's just like, wow! Whacking them all, each in the face. Stop it. You're acting like children.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Okay, they're fighting, and Lorcan does not notice a wolf appear towards his back. Aelin does see this, and she launches into a run, which is slowed down given the situation of her ankle. She does end up jumping on Lorcan and she protects his exposed back. And Fenris is too late to stop the bite.
He's in momentum. He's airborne.
And like there's dicks everywhere. And now there's just this girl with giant tits like running. And he's like, ah.
And the tits are actually reaching out for her.
So he ends up biting her arm out. Lorcan freaks out and he's quite mad. It turns out he might like her more than he initially said, which, oh, surprising.
He was actually negging her.
He was. He's a little gaslighter.
He's a gaslighter.
Fuck you. So he's like, Elaine, look at me. Look at me, please.
Look at me.
And then we get this quote. I wanted to go to Paranth with you. And it's like, oh, you should have. You should have told her that, Lorcan.
Should vocalize those feelings.
You little fucking bitch, Lorcan. He lowers his shield because they're like, just let us take you, Lorcan, in every hole you've got, and we'll heal a lead. Bend
please,
over.
We just need this.
Where's the lube?
Because again, they're fighting against the command.
Gabriel's going to heal a lead if he lets down his shields, and him and Fenris will, like, you know, go blows to blows. Fenris can't hold out on the command from Maeve much longer, and he and Lorcan, you know, fight, and then Rowan steps in. And he's like, Lorcan and a lead are under the protection of Aelin Galathinius, and any act against them is an act of war. Which Ooh. Basically means that that's like a little loophole for them to get out of, or not fully get out of the Blood Oath, but like to wait until they next see Maeve before they do anything, basically.
Yeah, buy some time.
Yes. Lorcan runs to a lead who is now healed thanks to Gabriel, and next minute Aelin is there, and Aelin is like, are you a lead? And when a lead nods, Aelin gets to her knees in front of her, and like tears are rolling down her face. She tells her what her mother's final words were to a lead before she saved Aelin's life. And
shout out to Marion.
Not the shopping center.
Westfield, far out.
They're both crying. It's so fucking beautiful. I love it. And then Manon is there, and Elaid almost like dies of joy. Elaid says that she is alive because of Lorcan and Manon, because Aelin like takes one look at fucking Lorcan and is like, this fucking stupid bastard. And then she goes into her pocket, gets out that little piece of cloth and the stone from Caltaine's arm, and explains what Caltaine said to her that day. Lorcan is getting like all protective of Elaid. And Nietzsche, he's like, no, she's mine. And Manon is like, fuck off, you giant fucking fuck.
I sexually awakened her first.
Yeah.
They're my titties.
Lorcan and Rowan are chatting, and Rowan is thinking about what he felt when he saw Aelin unleash all that power. And we get this quote, queen and lover and friend and more. He hadn't cared that they'd had an audience. He had needed to touch her to reassure himself that she was all right, to feel the woman who could do such great and terrible things and still look at him with that beckoning, vibrant life in her eyes. You make me want to live, Rowan. He wondered if a lead Lorcan had somehow made Lorcan want to do the same.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Dorian is thinking how odd it is that majority of people in their like little Scooby-Doo gang are followed by gods. And he's about to be like,
again, coincidences.
Coincidences. There's no such things. He is about to be like, that seems very odd. But then they approach the chest, and not Elaid's chest.
It's actually a...
Ooh.
That's where
they
I was
all
going.
Just walk to Elaid.
Just grab her tits.
She pulls apart her tits, and the lock's been there.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
Oh, fuck.
It's actually just a tattoo of like a lock.
You're like, oh, you guys were looking for a lock?
I've had this here since I was born.
Yeah.
I was a coincidence?
Born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. They open the chest, not a lead's chest, but it could be. And there's a mirror inside, a witch mirror. And Manon proceeds to tell them about the weapon that the witches are building for Erewhon, and how this mirror isn't for that, but it's for something else. So that's good. Doesn't really make
Thank
a lot
you
of sense.
For that, Manon.
Yep.
They're all really drained walking back from the marshes.
They're a bit zapped. Energy's low. And they're all also pissed at the minimal messages that are coming through, like, Elaina. When they get to their boat, there's just, like, a casual fleet of ships surrounding the boats. And they realize it's Melisandre's fleet. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, what is happening? Are they friends? Are they foe? There's a woman leading the soldiers. And Aelin is like, oh, my God, let's go say hi. I'm a social butterfly. Let's do it. Rowan is like, Aelin, stop. Like, we don't know if they're friends. And Aelin pushes forward until the leader of the group drops her hood. And we get this moment. Aelin knew every detail about her, knew that she was 20 years old now, knew that the medium length wine red hair was her real hair colour, knew the red brown eyes were the only she'd seen in any land on any adventure, knew the wolf's head on the pommel of the mighty sword at her side was her family's crest. She knew the smattering of freckles, the full laughing mouth, knew the deceptively slim arms that hid rock hard muscles as she crossed them. That full mouth slanted into a half grin as Ansel of Briarcliff, Queen of the Waste, strolled. Who gave you permission to use my name in the pit fights, Aelin? I gave myself permission to use your name however I please, Ansel. The day I spared your life instead of ending you like the coward you are. That cocky smile widened. Hello, bitch, Ansel purred. Hello, traitor. Aelin purred right back, surveying the armada spread before them. Looks like you made it on time after all.
Oh my god, I love every moment of it.
Oh my god, it's phenomenal.
How did you feel during that moment?
Amazing. I was like, this seems odd, but also there were no iffy vibes. So I was like,
the grass was not floating.
The grass.
No, it was not. Oh my god, I was so excited. Because I knew that's where we were heading, because she was like, I'm going to call upon everyone, old friends and stuff. So I'm like, we're going to get a reunion at some point.
Here it is.
So then Ansel bows and is like, as you requested, your majesty, your fleet. And everyone is like, what in the actual fuck is going on? Especially Manon, when she realizes that Ansel is the queen of the Western Wastes. Because remember, that's where the witches were meant to live.
Yeah.
Oops.
Before they fuck shit up.
Yeah. Oh, no. So Manon is also still pissed off because she can't find Abraxos with his socks. We don't know where he is.
Abraxos has actually just lost his socks and Manon is pissed. And I was like, who took my fucking women's socks?
They're a polyester cotton blend and they're really hard to find.
And
in
they've
his
got
size.
The lace trimmings. The lace trimmings.
Because he's such a delicate sausage. Yes.
Oh. They've got little flowers on them.
They do. I love his flowers. Oh my god. So her and Ansel almost have a fight. And it's a whole time. We love it. Everyone is very pissed off at Aelin for not telling them. Rowan, I can imagine, would be quite peeved. So we find out that word got back to Ansel when Aelin had used her name in the fighting pits back in Queen of Shadows. Okay. And Ansel picked up what she was putting down and came to help Aelin fuck up the colonizers. Gotta love it. Oh, we gotta fucking love it. A debt owed for a life, but also for a friend. Beautiful. Aww, even though she was kind of a little bit twisted, but you know, we all have our issues.
We all have time to grow.
Yeah.
Aelin needs a bit of a minute here. He's not coping. He's like, you're making too many decisions without me, and the shock is doing things to my heart.
This is also after Aelin was like, where are our armies, Aelin? Where are they? What are you doing? And she was like, let's fucking wait until chapter like 659.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aelin, that plot point hasn't been written yet. Fuck. Yes, he's thinking where he'll now have to place the army that Ansel bought. And then Lysandra approaches him.
His approaches. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But she appreciates it.
She's worried and she's afraid that she'll lose the only friends that she's ever had. And Aelin's like, we've just got to learn to face that death comes with war. And it's like, we know this already, Aelin. We're here allowed to be upset about it. Lysandra's like, well, I like whatever is going on between us. And Aiden's like, do you now? And she's like, yes. And I know my past is bad, but then we get this. I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm going to tell you that there is nothing unappealing about you. Nothing. I've been with just as many people, women, men. I've seen it and tried it all. I find pleasure in both, depending on my mood and the person. Attraction is attraction.
Oh my god, I love it. And yes, that bisexual energy is real.
It's throbbing.
Oh. But also, she's sort of trying to say, like, you know, my past is, like, troubling because I was sold into, like, sex trafficking,
sexual
essentially.
Slavery.
And he's like, you know what? Fuck it up. I like both. And I'm just a whore.
He's like, I'm just a whore by choice.
Yeah. So he's like, I relate. She's like, you really don't. But
it's thanks. Not the same.
But we appreciate his personal journey.
Such a
and
man.
We knew it.
Such a man thing to do. It's like,
it is.
He's like, oh my god,
you've got trauma.
I've got
trauma.
I made intentional decisions. words.
He actually just talks about how great his childhood was. Like, he's like, oh, I actually relate to you. One time,
look,
like,
to be fair, Aidan actually didn't have a great childhood.
No, he didn't. No, he did.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, of course. Hypothetical.
Nonetheless, we love the energy for him, and we're here. We respect it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aidan. And also, it makes a lot more sense now why he pushed Dorian into that rose bush one time.
Yeah, true.
Because he was trying to play hard to get. He was like,
enemies to lovers.
Anyway, they decide to start off by asking no demands of each other, and they just ask for honesty, which is just beautiful.
I love it. While that conversation is happening, Ansel and Aelin are catching up. Aelin is going to send Ansel north to gather the Crokins, and Manon is not happy about it. Ansel tells Aelin that she was on her way to free her from Endovia when she got word that Aelin had been retrieved by Dorian. And Aelin is shook because that means that Ansel was literally the only person trying to free Aelin. That's just pain, because Wesley was gonna, but he died. And then it was just Ansel. Ansel was like, I can do it.
Yeah.
They find out that Maeve set the fires in Ilway and is blaming Aelin for them to undermine her.
What a bitch.
Like, what
such a cunt. Such a fucking Maeve thing to do as well.
I got really angry reading that. I was like, why? What is your skin in the game here, Maeve? Fuck off.
Yeah.
They basically don't know where Maeve's fleet is now, but they assume that she is heading for the undefended Terrasen. And so Aelin is like, we gotta go. We gotta skedaddle. Rowan and Aelin are looking at a world map at night, and they're thinking, like, what the fuck are we gonna do? And we get this quote: for a heartbeat she could see it, see her face carved into statues and kingdoms so far away they did not even know Terrasen existed. A living god, Marla's heir and conqueror of the known world. She would bring music and books and culture and wipe out the corruption festering in the corners of the earth. Not now.
Oh.
So she basically, Rowan's like, do you want to conquer the world?
Should we?
And her response is, not now.
Yes, please.
This is horrifying, but I'm also, if anyone's going to conquer the world, I want to watch her do it.
Honestly, I know Throne of Glass is finished, but
again, Sarah said, is it?
So could Aelin conquer whatever world?
I would actually love to see Aelin become the conqueror.
She deserves it.
For good or bad, after they've discussed that casual information, Aelin grabs Rowan's hand and is like, I need you to do something for me. And of course, the paragraph ends and we're like, do what? Wank?
I need you to fuck me right now.
Just give me a quick finger blast. I need to focus.
With your finger guns. We then jump to Manon, and during this like little tidbit, I have many, many quotes. So Dorian is like, hello, darling, there you are.
You remember? He's also just come back from Liverpool.
He goes, you don't have chains anymore. And Manon goes, is it more enticing for you if they're on?
Ooh.
And he goes, sometimes it is.
Oh.
that dinosaur noise, whatever that was. And then we go to this. Manon says, will it be you or the queen against Erewhon in the end, I wonder? Dorian says, fire against darkness makes for a better story. Manon says, yes, but so would ripping a demon king to shreds without using your hands. And Dorian says,
not wrong.
I can think of better uses for my hands, invisible and flesh.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Dorian.
I fucking froth this side of Dorian.
He's just come out of his
And then
shell.
We get, I know, he's like, bitch, all I needed was some trauma. All I needed was some dickin' from Stephen, and we're here.
Here we are. Fuck it out.
Again, these are just quotes after quotes after quotes, so just bear with me. His mouth was still around the tip of her breast as he again met her eyes, sapphire framed with ebony lashes, and said, I want to taste every inch of you.
Oh dear.
Oh my god.
Oh dear.
I didn't realize we had left the beach. I thought we were still on the beach right now. I'm like, why is he sucking her breast into his mouth?
Just in public.
There's people. There's a lot of people around.
He's just like, Manon, whap him out. Whap him out.
Whack him out.
Whap him out. Let me see them titties.
Yes. Next quote. She had never contemplated what it would be like to yield control and not to have it be weakness, but a freedom. Love it. Love it.
Oh
so fucking hot. And then Dorian says, this was supposed to take the edge off, Manon, and did it? Dorian, no, not even close.
Oh.
Oh.
I love it. I love it. And Manon is like shook. She's never like let a male take control of her like that. We then jump to Aleed and Lorcan. Lorcan is like, you choose this? Like us? And she's like, duh.
How is this a surprise to you, Lorcan?
I know, I literally invited you back to my fucking house. I don't just do that to anyone. You can't even herd sheep. What use would you be? I still invited you.
Yeah. He is just a useless man.
A giant fucking useless man.
I mean, he'd look pretty in the corner. He could be like a coat rack.
Yes! Look in the coat rack! Anyway, next minute, it's all turned not gravy baby because Maeve's ships come over the horizon. Not
yikes.
Good. Oh no.
They receive a message from Maeve's ships. Aelin has until dawn to decide to surrender. That big seems yikes. Big yikes. And they're all chatting. Aelin's like, she had no solution. Dorian remained quiet though. He often glanced between her and Manon as if some puzzle were laid before him. He never said what.
Oh dear God.
Dorian is smart, he's putting things together, the rest of them are not. Rowan can't bear to live without Aelin, and so he leaves her in the dead of the night, which also is contradictory, he can't live without her, leaves, and flies in hawk form to each of the ships, which are his cousins, his actual cousins.
He's got a lot of cousins.
He's got so many cousins.
And a lot Aelin of them included. Are... No. Distant. So distant.
So distant, it actually isn't real.
And he basically goes to each ship and then gives a TED talk. We're not sure what he says, but all their response are, is that he can, they'll consider his TED talk.
He's got, his like, talk is actually a PowerPoint presentation.
He's got slide like a animation.
Yeah, a pointer as well. And he's like, this... Aelin. This is Aelin. Rowan.
She is your cousin as well. I'll introduce you to her.
Family. Oh, she does the Caleb Vin Diesel. From Credence. Mine.
Jorin's putting things together and he's realizing that when Aelin was possessed, Theanna said, flame and iron together bound, merge into silver to learn what must be found. A mere step is all it shall take. And he realizes that Manon is iron. She's got a high iron in her blood count.
She is, in fact, not anemic.
He's not me. Aelin is though, and she's flame. And he thinks that the mirror is a travel mirror, teleportation type vibes, and they need to go into the mirror to learn how to safely use the keys. Aelin doesn't want to, but she doesn't really have a choice. So Manon and Aelin place their hands on the mirror and poof, they're gone.
Poof.
I just love that Dorian had this thought just out of the blue. He's like, hang on.
Hang
iron, on. Iron, iron. Mirror. I've put it all together, guys.
It's because he's been too busy. Like, just, he doesn't do anything else. He's just
been sitting there being like, no one else is fixating on what that weird woman said. I should probably be the one.
Yeah,
exactly. I need to be somehow useful.
Aelin punches Dorian in the face. It's awesome.
Yeah.
He's not okay. He's a bit upset. Rowan's also a bit upset. I'm also a little bit upset. Everyone is just a bit upset with Dorian because, you know, mate, if you're going to make these decisions where you're going to send off two of, like, the strongest fighters in your pack through a magical mirror, just tell someone else.
Yeah.
Mm. Find a friend. Mm. Leave a note. It's not that hard. Anyway, they're still preparing for battle, no matter where Aelin is, and they aren't sure what's happening with Fenris and Gavril and Lorcan, because remember
they're on the Blood Oath.
Yes. Yeah, they're with Maeve.
They're not on meth. They are on the Blood Oath.
They're not meth moles.
They're not meth moles. They're Maeve moles.
Maeve moles. Oh, God. Maeve meth moles. Maeve meth.
Maeve smoles. So she hasn't called on their blood oaths yet, so they're like, this is going to be interesting for when that whole dynamic shifts. But we do get some information about how they ran for Mistwood when Rowan had called for aid before Maeve could catch wind of it, which, get the pun, wind, Rowan, winning. When we returned, Maeve whipped us within an inch of our lives, tied Lorcan to the posts for 2 days, and let Cairn whip him whenever he wished. Lorcan ordered us not to tell you for whatever reason, but I think Maeve saw that what we did together in Mistwood and realized how dangerous we could be to her. It's like, yes, they're quite powerful.
She's Kylo Jenner. She's realizing things.
She's It's just a year of realizing things. So the men are fighting for Aelin at this point in time because they love our Firebringer. That is until Maeve calls for them, which is like, yeah. Oh, shit.
Right, Ro. When Maeve's messenger approaches and asks for Aelin's response to whether she will hand herself over, Rowan's like, she actually ain't here, bro. She left like 10 minutes ago. She like went for a walk down to the pub. She's cracking open a beer. You should probably go down there, see her.
Yeah.
She's having a schooner.
They prepare for attack and he sends Dorian out to shield his own line of ships. And then we get this really beautiful moment as they're like parting ways. They like clap hands, do like the bro hug. And Dorian says, it's not such a hard thing, is it, to die for your friends?
Oh, and Rowan Dorian
just like majestically looks at him and he's like, no, it's not.
Oh,
it's so beautiful. I love it. Aelin and Manon are in this like weird mirror place. They're in Narnia. They figure out they are in the past and they see Elena Galathinius sealing the tomb where Erewhon lies with the eye of Elena. So that is the lock. Manon is like, so we've had the lock like all along, super weird. And then Aelin's like, just fucking wait. I think we have been deliberately misled about what we must retrieve. Big yikes.
This is fine. So from here, things take a very bad turn and we're in Elena's point of view. And we discover that she sealed the tomb of Erewhon with the lock. Turns out she's a fucking idiot because she didn't realize that the reason her father hadn't used the lock yet was because he was waiting to wield the lock and seal all three keys back in the gate when the gods and the Dark King had left this earth. She's a silly bugger.
I really
don't
like her. The gods
are pissed because they just wanted to go home like their old mate E.T. But they're now like, well, your bloodline must suffer because of your shit dick.
Wow. They've been just riding Elena's dick and they're like, this is so shit, but your bloodline now is going to suffer. I'm going to fuck up your entire bloodline because you're shit.
To give generational trauma for this one thing.
Yeah.
Petty bastards, aren't they?
Marla is there and she says that they will wait. They will wait so that Aelin can, you know, figure some shit out if she can, you know, get those locks, you know. Marla's bloodline shall bleed again to forge the lock anew, and you will lead them, a lamb to slaughter, to pay the price of this choice you made, to waste its power here for this petty battle. You will show this future Skion how to forge a new lock with Marla's gift. Have to then use it to wield the keys and send us home. Our original bargain still holds. We will take the Dark King with us, tear him apart in our own world, where he will be but dust and memory. When we are gone, you will show this Skion how to seal the gate behind us, the lock holding it intact eternally, by yielding every last drop of their life force, as your father was prepared to do when the time was right.
We then get Nehemia's point of view. And fuck, I miss Nehemia. Nehemia is at the Stone Marshes basically a year or so ago, and she's ready to pay the price. Like, she's like, let's give it up. But Elena tells her that it has to be someone of her bloodline, either Dorian or Aelin. Elena tells Nehemia to travel to Ardlan and help either Dorian or Aelin, even though she doesn't go by that name right now. And basically, be prepared for this moment. Nehemia says she will do it for her country and for her people.
I love how she was literally just like, wow, I'm going to befriend this bitch, but really I'm like plotting.
Yeah, trying to bring you to your death.
Love Nehemia, but also.
Yeah. Like, as much as I can understand the motivation, it's also really fucked up.
Yeah.
It really is. Oh, well. Well, Adian has been preparing for battle for his entire life. He turns himself into the Wolf of the North and gets ready for battle. So Lysandra's attacking from beneath the surface of the water. She's altered her sea dragon form a little bit, so she's perfected it. She's just added some little finessing touches.
She's bedazzled it
with just like a splash of spider silk. And after, like, she spent some time chilling with Abraxas on his socks, she's like looked at his wings, because remember Manon had like etched spider silk into his wings.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, I'm just going to replicate that. So Lysandra breaks ship after ship for her court, for her friends, for her family. Oh, it's amazing. Ugh. So that's like her main task, is to like fuck their ships, which is what she's doing.
Fulfilling that job.
She is. She's doing a great work. Gold star. Dorian then has been like delving into his magic, and Aelin still isn't back yet. And you can already sort of like sense how Adian and Rowan are doing, because you know, she is their everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maeve's ships are coming closer. There are two flags on their ships, the White Thorn flag and Maeve's flag. But the ones with the White Thorn flag suddenly pull down Maeve's and start firing on Maeve's armada. It's the cousins. The cousins are back in town.
All of those cousins are like, we're not going to fuck, but we're going to fuck up Maeve's day.
We will. We'll fuck in a different way.
Hi. No cousin fucking here. We get this quote, like, right off the bat. Rowan had told Ender about Aelin, and FYI, Ender is one of his cousins. One of 70 cousins. He had told his cousin about the woman he loved, the queen whose heart burned with wildfire. He had told Ender about Erewhon and the threat of the keys and Maeve's own desire for them. And then he had gotten on his knees and begged his cousin to help, to not open fire on Terrasen's armada, but on Maeve's, to not squander this one chance at peace, at halting the darkness before it consumed them all, both from Morath and Maeve, to fight not for the queen who had enslaved him, but the one who had saved him.
Oh my God, I can't deal.
So much pain. Beautiful. We have this moment where Rowan is so thankful and he wishes that Aelin was here to see it. Which also, I just realised, we haven't noted. We've already had the last time Rowan and Aelin see each other.
That's already happened.
Oh, gosh.
That happened when they had that mystery shenanigan. And then they had Maeve's messenger. And that was it. That was the last time they saw each other.
Oh, God. So
it makes me angry.
Oh, you'll only get more angry.
Oh, my God.
Lorcan is like, oh, my God, what the fuck? I'm shooketh. And we get this quote, which is, for a heartbeat, Lorcan allowed himself to ponder it. The power of the thing that had compelled Rowan to risk it all. And Lorcan wondered if it would perhaps be the one force that Maeve, that Erewhon, would not see coming. But then, all of a sudden, Fenris goes pale. Gavriel goes pale. And they realise that Maeve has called them to her. She's tugged on that blood oath. But
she's
before
tugged on their pains.
She has tugged on the dicks. All at once, like udders.
But before Fenris can winnow them out, Gavriel points not at the ships, but at the shore, where Lorcan had just left a lead and been like, you'll be safe here while we battle. Again, putting this poor woman with her fucked up ankle out in the wilderness.
Just in the terrible terrain.
Putting her off-road and just being like, you'll be fine. Aelin is basically waiting in the dunes for the battle to be over, casually, when someone appears on the beach, as if walking out of a passing breeze.
Is so stressed. Interesting. So, Aelin is pissed. She's watching all of this unfold and she sees like Elaena and Brannon argue, and when Elaena gave up her immortality to die with Gavin, Brannon did everything he could to keep clues for Aelin so that she would know what happened, so that she would be pointed in the right direction, but you know.
He couldn't really count on his ancestors being possessed by Richard the Demon and his eight dicks and kind of fucking up all his plans, but here we are.
Marla's light has to be totally drained, Aelin's life. So, like, absolutely drained. Like, she needs to die, be yeeted from the chat. Aww. Elaena appears and she, like, apologizes and she cries, and Aelin, like, doesn't really understand, but Elaena shows her the night that Aelin was found on the riverbed as, like, a little wee baby. And Elaena defied the gods and their wish for Elaena to take Aelin that night and make her find the keys and destroy Erewhon. Elaena just couldn't do it. She was like, I can't. She's just a wee baby. She's not done nothing. But she knew deep down that Aelin was the new world that everyone needed. So she sacrificed her life in the afterworld to save Aelin that night.
I mean, that's pretty noble. That's very redeeming, because I was getting very fucking annoyed with her.
That's exactly right. Honestly, she was in my fucking bad books.
I know, but I just love to picture this whole time that they're in the mirror and they're going through all of these, like,
fake trauma-filled flashbacks.
Yes. And Manon's just like, why am I here?
Who are these people? Who are these people?
Question, hi. Where do I fit in with this? So, apparently, Elaena couldn't give Aelin all of the info because she wasn't ready. Which is like, I am calling bullshit. But Aelin asks why she sent her to Windolin. And she says, I know. Maeve has long wished to regain possession of those keys. My father believed it was for something other than conquest. Something darker, worse. I don't know why she only began hunting for them once you arrived, but I sent you to Wendelin for the healing, and so you would find him, the one who had been waiting so long for you.
Oh.
Aelin's heart cracked. Rowan? He was a voice in the void, a secret, a silent dreamer, and so were his companions, but the Fae Prince he was. Aelin says, I know, I've known for a long time. Fucking mates!
Mates.
Mates. Mates. Mates. I tell ya. Screaming, dying, crying, creaming. So, Elena shows Aelin what to do with the keys, the lock, and how to send Vera Wang and all of the gods, who are at this point are just fucking pesky and annoying, back to their hometown. Which, by the way, how did the gods even get here in the first place? Where is here? Because they're not of this dimension. I'm confused.
It's super interesting, but also I find it really, really funny. Like, the gods are actually just me when I've been out too late and I really want to go home. I'm going to make it everyone's fucking problem until I'm in bed.
Yeah. So we don't really find out how this is going to happen, but just that she knows. And Manon isn't really happy about it, which is like, Sarah, I'd like some more information now, please. I've been on the journey for a long time. I'm sick of surprises. I just like something to be spelled out for me.
Imagine reading this as it came out.
I don't know how you did it. When they appear back in the dunes, Maeve is there with a fey warrior's sword pressed to a Leed's throat.
The next chapter is in Adian's POV and he's fighting and Lysandre's in Ghost Leopard form next to him. He saw Gavriel go, but before he left, he threw a shield around Adian. So just take that. Trauma. Pain. Adian tells Lysandra that she needs to run if they start losing. And she comes up to him in her ghost leopard form and like nuzzles his cheek. And Adian is like, next time, do that in your human form.
He's like, I like this sentiment, but you are like an animal that has given me severe PTSD.
But yeah, they keep fighting and we go back to Dorian's POV and he's like holding the line the best he can. And he thinks so far everyone is doing okay until he hears Adian's roar of pain. And then another roar. Whose roar? Abraxos with his socks! And a little 13. Buddy. Well, it's actually 12 because Manon is fighting with Aelin and stuff.
So Astrin, literally, she just takes a tumble, like a dive, off of her wyvern and drops down onto Adian's ship. And she's like, hello, my name is Astrin and I am at your service today. Where is Manon? And he's like,
where is my bitch?
What the fuck has just happened? But he ends up explaining that she's here, but he said, if you help me save the crew, then I'll take you to her and you guys can have your little reunion with Abraxos and his socks. And Astrin's like, no worries, point me in the direction of who I need to kill. And then Rowan's magic is beginning to get a bit depleted. So he switches to hawk form and sees Adian. They still have no sign of Aelin, but then Dorian appears and he's like, I feel something on the shore.
Iffy vibes.
Iffy vibes. Elaine's just like, someone sensed the iffy vibes I'm putting out into the world.
And she's Dorian's like, got her like, titties and she's like, just wiggling them at a really fast pace so the vibrations like.
That's it. That's it. Dorian's picked up on those pulses because he's daddy Dorian now and he's like, I feel boobs. Rowan has realized too late that Maeve was just setting up a distraction.
I love Maeve's distraction is an armada trying to kill you. Back on the beach, Aelin is like, what's up, auntie? Maeve is like, hello, darling. Manon isn't happy that Maeve has a sword to Elaine's throat, which seems fair. And Lorcan arrives, and Manon's like, I could be a better boyfriend than him.
Yes. But,
and we find out that he sent his power out into the world when he saw Arnsel's fleet, thinking that it was an enemy fleet, and that was what summoned Maeve.
Giant. You idiot.
Lorcan. Idiot. Lorcan. Talk about coming too soon. Just calm down.
Quick off the mark.
Maeve says that Elaine is very special to get all these super strong, powerful people on her side, which is obviously true. Aelin is like, well, this is boring. Do you want to do some interpretive dance or spoken word poetry? And then they make the next Step Up movie. It's Step Up 8 and it's Back to the Beach.
Back to the beach.
Darkness and flame fight one another and we get this quote. Light and darkness. Sand shuddered down the dunes. The waves rippled. Only now. Maeve had only dared attack Aelin now. Because Aelin at her full strength, Aelin could beat her. But Aelin nearly depleted all her power, dot, 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 So that's a problem. Maeve covers Aelin in darkness and Aelin screams. Aelin is begging Lorcan, begging Manon, someone do something, but neither one of them does. And then Benris and
mad.
Yeah, absolutely fair. But it gets worse. It just gets worse from here. Everything's going down. Then Fenris and Gavriel appear and Maeve is like, well, look what the kitty cat dragged in. She severs the blood oath from Gavriel with dishonor, and Fenris wants her to do the same to him, but she says that his punishment will be to live alongside her forever.
That's rough.
That's so fucked.
So that got you mad, did it, Ellie?
Furious. The fact that Lorcan, I know he's like blood oath and like he can't move and whatever, but still, say something. Use words. Your tongue's not fucking
anything. Show force.
Anything. And I know why Manon wasn't doing anything either, but I was like, your bitch is just going to stand there and let Aelin get killed. She was like, your one hope. I was more so angry at Sarah in the moment, I now realize.
Again, that gets worse.
Yes, it does. So Maeve is like, I'm not going to kill you, Aelin. I need you. I want the keys and I want the lock.
She goes into like a full villain monologue and is just like, let me just like dot the I's, cross the T's, give you the backstory.
Yeah, I'll give you everything. So yeah, she says that Brannon stole them from her and she knew that she needed to get them back. So she took something that she knew Aelin wouldn't be able to live without. Rowan.
Oh my god.
So we get this quote. But in my dark power, I saw a glimmer of the future. I saw that Marla's power would surge again and that you would lead me to the keys. Only you, the one Brannon left clues for, and the one who could find all three. And I saw who you were, what you were. I saw who you loved. I saw your mate. What a powerhouse you two would be. You and Prince Rowan, and any offspring of that union. You and Rowan could rule this continent if you wished, but your children would be powerful enough to rule an empire that could sweep the world.
Oh my god.
It is confirmed. Like, in writing, they are mates. It is happening. Their kids could fuck shit up. Truly, really.
Let's just give Ellie her moment.
Thank you. My moment in the sun. It's just, I'm so glad they're mates. I'm so glad. I was so scared that they weren't.
I really tried to throw you off. I tried really hard, but you stuck to your guns. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You did the work, Kelly. The only work Georgia and I did, I gave up by the end and I just sat there, but Georgia was putting in the hours.
I was literally like, I'm going to die on this hill. I am quite comfortable.
You know what's really funny? I was re-listening to some of our other episodes and then I was listening to Out of Midnight and you're literally, I am will die on this hill. How can they not be together forever, Vaho and Kael?
Wait, hear me out.
You went on the journey.
Midnight Rain. We're doing a music reference right now.
Oh, fuck.
Right here, right now. Midnight Rain, Taylor Swift.
Mm.
It's her and Kyle. It's
it
her
is.
And Kyle.
It's perfectly her and Kyle.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Mm-hmm. He was sunshine. I was midnight rain. He wanted a bride. I was making my own name.
He wanted to be comfortable. Okay. I wanted that.
He stayed the same.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, that's all I'll say. Oh, it is my turn, so I will say
you will say more.
So, Fenris cannot believe it. Kitty Cat Gavriel is on the floor, like, dying because of the blood oath being severed. And I'm just like, calm your farm, sir.
I'm just assuming it's like a big kick to the dicks.
It must be. But then Rowan was sort of like, he was fine.
No, because his was
with Bidonna.
Yes. So this has basically been like torn out of his chest.
Getting a wax on your nipple.
Right. Okay. I can feel the pain for that. Yeah.
But
sure.
It's both nipples and on the shaft of your dick.
Oh, simultaneously.
All at once. You don't have time to recover between each one.
So Maeve confirms she made Rowan fall in love with Lyria. She faked their bond and then she killed her. And I fucking knew it.
Honestly though, how fucked up does someone have to be to be like, I'm going to make you fall in love with this woman. And then
so that you will bind yourself to me in your trauma.
Yeah, so I can kill her and then you can be my slave forever.
Yeah, look, she's got some issues.
She's fucked.
No one's going to debate that. So Aelin promises, she's like, you know what? That's an offence. punishable by death. And Fenris is trying to fight Maeve's hold as much as he can. He's begging Maeve to let Aelin go, begging her. So obviously they can speak. Lorcan's just chosen not to in this moment. He literally is no more than a coat rack in this moment.
Elaine stopped humping his leg and she's actually quite ashamed of herself.
Yeah, she's like, God, my actions. All right. We learn that Marla's bloodline runs true and that Rowan and Aelin could have had centuries together because she held the Fae's immortality too.
I'm that in so bitch, much pain.
Don't dangle the carrot in front of me and then just take it away.
I'm in so much physical pain.
I swear to God, if I don't get a happy ending, if I don't get a happy ending, I will rage. I will write a letter. I will write a motherfucking letter.
You're going to be getting your pen ready.
Ellie's now just traumatized, so we'll give her some time to recover. Maeve brings Cairns, the city in Queensland, out. So the choice is yours, Aelin. Come with me willingly, or Cairns here is going to whip you and we'll bring a lead too. Maeve basically orders Lorcan and Benris to stand there and do nothing. And Lorcan says to Maeve to take the queen and leave a lead. He's like, fuck that bitch. I need her and her baps. Not this one, the other one. Aelin says that she gave Manon a task and we're unsure of what, but we presume that it is to protect Elaine. And it is at this stage that things go from awful to awfuler. And Aelin nods to Maeve and she surrenders. Maeve tells Lorcan to let Elaine go and Elaine runs to Aelin. Aelin tells Elaine these things and get ready. Get ready for this quote. Bonnets are on. The quote we get is... Tell the others that I am sorry. Tell Lysandra to remember her promise and that I will never stop being grateful. Tell Adrian, tell him it is not his fault, in that I wish he'd been able to take the oath, but Terrison will look to him now and the lines must not break. And tell Rowan that I am sorry I lied, but tell him it was all borrowed time anyway. Even before today, I knew it was all just borrowed time. I still wish we had more of it. Tell him he has to fight. He must save Terrison and remember the vows he made to me. And tell him thank you for walking that dark path with me back to the light. I would just like to say fuck you, Sarah, for putting that in writing.
As she is telling Elaine these things, Maeve's Fae warriors are hefting a giant iron box towards the beach. Inside are chains and an iron mask. None of this sounds like a good time. Why no. are we doing this?
No. Not good. It's not kinky, gravy, baby. It's not kinky.
It's not kinky. In fact, it's illegal, Maeve. What you're doing is wrong. So Manon is like, okay, Elaine, we need to go. We need to get the fuck out. And Elaine starts fighting, but Manon knocks her out. So she throws her over her shoulder and turns around, looks at Aelin and says, good luck. And then off she trots. And in this moment, I was like, that's a bit rough, Manon. Like, I know you guys were fighting and all, but
you've just been on like a spirit quest into a mirror. Like,
I know.
Surely there's hands. More.
Maeve is like, okay, time for some pain. And she tells Cairn Carnes to whip Aelin 10 times and that Aelin needs to count. She makes Aelin take off her shirt and Aelin leaves it in the sand as she is hauled to her feet and is whipped. Remember how we're making those jokes about chains and whips excite me? They no longer do. Aelin refuses to count, so she is whipped over and over and over and over until she screams as one of the whips was right over another one, like literally on her bone.
Oh, not a fun time.
And that beautiful tattoo would have been ruined. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's gone.
She still refuses to count, but Rowan is on his way, so the guts to go. Maeve clamps the iron mask over Aelin's face and puts her in the box.
Oh dear God, that's fucked up. So Manon is watching Aelin get shackled in iron, like from like the bushes or something. She's like hiding out in the bushes, like watching this all unfold now that she's run off. Her feet, her arms, her neck, the mask is on, and then she's like put in the box. So she's just like head to toe iron, basically. We find out that she needs to get out of here because Aelin slipped the word keys into Manon's pocket while Maeve was distracted. So big yikes. Good on you, Aelin.
She's shifty.
She is shifty. She is. Got those quick fingers. She watches as Aelin is taken away with Fenris as well. And then Maeve ends up approaching Lorcan and is like, you know what? No, I don't like you really that much anymore. And just strips him of the blood oath as well. And it's like, boy, bye. But Lorcan is not okay. The ship is just like yeeted. It's winnowed out of existence. So we presume Maeve can winnow. No one is shocked by these events.
But also there is this scene where Lorcan is like crawling.
Oh my god. Literally looks like a fucking...
And Elide is like, worm. This is the most pathetic shit I have ever seen.
Worm.
Giant man.
Would you
worm.
Love me if I was a worm? No.
No, we would not.
We get this basically entire page of absolute fuck off trauma. And because of that, I've decided it's best for the community if I keep it in. So bear in mind, again, the entire page. So then a hand gripping his hair, yanking back his head as a dagger settled along his throat. As Rowan's face, calm with lethal wrath, appeared in his vision. Where is Aelin? There was pure panic, too. Pure panic as Whitethorn saw the blood, the scattered blades, and the shirt. Where is Aelin? What had he done? What had he done? Pain sliced Lorcan's neck. Warm blood dribbled down his throat, his chest. Rowan hissed, where is my wife? Lorcan swayed where he knelt. Wife. Wife. Oh gods, Elide sobbed as she overheard, the words carrying the sound of Lorcan's own fractured heart. Oh gods. And for the first time in centuries, Lorcan wept. Rowan dug the dagger deeper into Lorcan's neck, even as tears slid down Lorcan's face. What that woman had done, Aelin had known, that Lorcan had betrayed her and summoned Maeve here, that she had been living on borrowed time, and she had married Whitethorn so Terrasen could have a king, perhaps had been spurred into action because she knew Lorcan had already betrayed her, that Maeve was coming, and Lorcan had not helped her, Whitethorn's wife, his mate.
I'm not okay. I'm extremely unwell, in fact.
I am so unwell. It actually is causing me duress.
There is something about the word wife.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just
does something different. So we find out that Lysandra knew. Like Aelin had been theorizing, and obviously she told her bestie.
Obviously.
Aelin was gonna sacrifice herself for this cause and had married Rowan so that he would be king of Terrasen. Lysandra would wear Aelin's skin forever, but would bear Adian's children, not Rowan's. So no one would question that the Ash River line was continuing. Huge yikes. Adian is obviously pissed, which is very fair, because if the tables were turned, I would be right ropeable.
Right ropeable.
Elide goes to Lorcan and tells him to go fuck himself.
Thank God.
Because she won't be.
She will not be fucking him.
And Adian does the same thing. He's like, I might be bi, but I'm not that bi. The 13 are with Manon, and they understand that she is a Crocken queen, and they still plan on standing by her. And Manon gives a great TED talk as well. It's just going around at the moment. And she says, I'm going to find the Crockens, and I'm going to raise an army with them for Aelin Galathinius and her people, and for ours. Manon apologizes to everyone and says that she couldn't stop Maeve because Aelin gave her the keys. And so she then gives the keys to Dorian and is like, you're Marla's bloodline, so in case Aelin dies, I guess it's up to you, hey.
Good luck. You're our last chance, Dorian. Anyway, Rowan is not doing okay. He's just...
Not a baby.
He's not. We learn that they were married with just Adian and Lysandra as witnesses 2 days ago, and they were married by the captain of the ship, which I'm also a bit salty at because we still haven't had an SJM wedding yet.
We have not.
We didn't get to see Feyre and Rhys. We didn't get to see Nesta and Cassian.
I'm so angry.
I'd prefer that over the children. Like, just give me...
Yeah, fuck the babies.
Fuck them babies.
Okay, we have a quote. His fire heart, his equal, his friend, his lover, his wife, his mate.
Oh,
she is all of those things. and more, and she's gone. And then this. He would not accept that he had found her and she had found him, and they had survived each sorrow and pain and despair together, only to be cleaved apart. He would not accept the fate that had been dealt to her, would not accept that her life was the asking price for saving this world. He's just refusing to give up, and he sends a message down the mating bond, which is, fight it, fight her, I'm coming for you. Even if it takes me 1,000 years, I will find you, I will find you, I will find you. And I'm not doing okay anymore. I'm just not.
Yeah, at this stage we're all hysterically sobbing, but we don't have time for that because Neckmin, new ships arrive, and it's Gallen, Ash River. And then Neckmin, it's Ilias, son of the Mute Master and the leader of the Silent Assassins.
Screaming. All these
allies popping up, and Lysandra pops out in Aelin's skin.
Creepy.
Yeah, and like she's really honed her art of the imitation, and Adian is fuming, but they know it needs to be done. Lysandra sends Rowan to retrieve something important before he comes north with them to Terrasen. And he knows it's to get Aelin. Imagine if it's not, though.
She's like, I've actually just... No, I am Aelin now. And I don't like you. So
there is no Aelin. I am Aelin.
Aedin is basically staying with Lysandra while Rowan, Aelid, Lorcan, and Gabriel are going to find Aelin. And the witches and Dorian are basically going to find all the Crokins and raise a witch army.
I'm not ready for this fucking trauma. Are you guys?
No.
Everyone put your bonnets on. Nope, it's time.
Coming back.
It's time. The end of the book. Here we go. This is a fucking gut wrencher. Get ready. Rowan brought the shirt to his face and breathed in her scent. Felt something stir in him. Felt the bond flicker. He let the shirt drop. Let the wind carry it far out to sea. Far away from this blood-drenched place that reeked of pain. I will find you. Rowan shifted and soared high on a fast, wicked wind of his own making, the glimmering sea sprawling to his right, the marshes a green and grey tangle to his left, chaining the wind to him, swiftly catching up with his companions now flying down the coast. He committed her scent to memory, committed that flicker in the bond to memory, that flicker he could have sworn he felt in answer, like the fluttering heart of an ember. Unleashing a cry that set the world trembling, Prince Rowan Whitethorn Galathinius, consort of the Queen of Terrasen, began the hunt to find his wife. That is the fucking line. Like, Prince Rowan Whitethorn Galathinius, consort of the Queen of Terrasen, began the hunt to find his wife. Like, that line.
That's it. We made it. We're in shambles, but, you know, here we are.
We're falling apart at the seams. And I think we all know that at this point, the only thing that's going to put us back together is Taylor Swift.
Oh, absolutely. Thank God.
Thank fucking God.
Are we going back to the OG days of A Book to Bev with a Taylor Swift reference bonanza? Woo! So we have Wildest Dreams. Please, please enjoy this. He's so tall, handsome as hell. He's so bad, but he does it so well. Well, hello there, Roro.
Roro!
Roro! Hello, Roro. Also, you see me in hindsight tangled up with you all night, burning it down. Because fire. Okay, yes. Cardigan. You drew scars all around my stars to begin with. Just
love it.
She's got lots of scars.
Because he's probably put some scars in that back tattoo of hers.
Likely has. And when you are young, they assume you know nothing. Which, Darrow, hello. Fuck you. And, but I knew you'd linger like a tattoo kiss. I knew you'd haunt all of my what ifs. The smell of smoke would hang around this long. Because I knew everything when I was young, because she has. She's just so clever.
Well, look, we're going to jump into fan art now. And when I say we've got a lot, we've got a lot.
To begin with, by Rachel Hank 27. It is of it. Manon with her blue blood, like on Windcleaver. Mm. Her like hair, like glistening. Like the blood dripping down her lip, down her nose. Oh, it's just so fucking good.
It's so, so fucking hot. Good.
And we've also got a bunch of art, actually, by Mickey_art.books. Now, she has done just the hands on the beach. And then there's also one of Dorian and Manon as well with the phantom hands. Love it. Love it. And by C-Ban Art. I still can't know how to pronounce it, but it's fine. You know who it is because she's in every single episode. Every single episode. And this is
so hot.
Manon and Dorian. Getting a little bit steamy.
I really love that Manon's got the new Honey Birdette set.
Literally!
She really does.
Fuck it up. She looks hot. And those phantom hands? Sheesh! Anyway, yes, those three. Love it.
We then dive into my fan art suggestions, and we start off with Diana D. Warwick, which is Aelin at the temple of Gavin Brannan, whatever the fuck his name is, with Lysandra in her ghost leopard form, where she's just like turning people to ash. You know, that's fun. We've then got Mads Schofield. Mads, buddy. He's done Dorian and Manon on the boat. With it's Dorian's the blush. Got. It's the blush with her blue blood, because a lot of Manon fan art forget that she has blue blood, so she would not have a pink blush, but she's got it. And also Dorian just has this really interesting tan line around his neck that's just a really beautiful touch. So then we've got Melon Draws, and she's done the scene where Dorian dives into the ocean to pull Manon out when she falls off of Abraxos. We've then got Gianni Philly, and she's done a Lorcan and a lead in their little circus get up, and Lorcan is helping her ankle
because it
is fucked up. We've then got Sol Tease, which is Aelin and Rowan just chilling in the ocean, and it's a bit like anime style. I love it.
It's definitely post-sex. There's post-sex hair.
We've got two by Castle in the Sky.
So
the Aelin and Rowan one as well. It actually moves when you look at it on Instagram. It's like an animation with little sparks rolling down. But to me, that is, I know it's not fully Empire of Storms accurate, but it's, to me, that's the scene where she's just killed all the Ilkin and he walks up.
I wish that she did it more like bloody and like, you know, like, yeah, or like a little bit more gritty, you know.
Yeah.
But I still love it. Like, it's so.
Yeah.
It's so realistic. It looks so cool.
The other one by Castle in the Sky, which if you swipe to, is the moment when Lorcan shields a lead.
Where's her fucked up ankle?
He's hiding in the water.
I wanted to see some gruesome fucking shit. Where's the ankle? Where's the tits?
Well, she's got her back to the camera. It's kind of hard to figure that out, but you can see the outline of them. We've then got, it's not a finished piece by Dominic Wesson, but it deserves a mention. Dominic Wesson did a sketch of Aelin and Rowan making out, and you can see their tongues touching.
Oh my god, it's so hot.
Tongue action. Wow, okay, hello.
The other two that I'm adding in is just a general shout out to, I don't know how you say it, but it's spelled M-E-A-B-H-U-S-D. Granted, their Instagram doesn't have the art that I'm referencing on it. They've done it as a commission and then it's just out in the world. But they've done a bunch of these characters throughout various scenes. But in particular, I want to shout out to Lorcan carrying a lead over his shoulder.
And there you see her fucked up ankle.
You see her ankle.
You do.
And then Aelin and Rowan in the ocean, post-fuck. And that is the giant amount of fan art that we have put together for Empire of Storms.
Fuck it up.
You think that's a lot? Wait till you get to Kingdom of Ash. I'm not even sorry about what's going to happen.
God, and they're going to be absolutely fucked. I hope you're ready. They're going to be fucked.
Yeah, so that's Empire of Storms done. That's fun. Glad we all cried together.
Fuck. Love that.
Our group therapy bill is going to be cheaper than our individual therapy bills, so I'm happy for us.
Yeah.
Next week, we are coming to you with part one of Tower of Dawn.
It's already come about so quick. Oh, my God. We're so close.
We're two books away from the end. Oh, my God.
I'm scared.
We are unsure if we will do Tower of Dawn in two parts or three parts. It depends on how fucked our notes are. But, yeah. Then after that, we're on to Kingdom of Ash.
And that, you're going to be lucky if you even get it in three at this point. It's going to be fucked. Yeah.
It might be six.
Eight, even. Ten.
A whole, like, we've done, like, what, this is episode 40 of, yeah, episode 40 came out today, and that was part one of Empire of Storms. We'll just do another 40 on just Kingdom of Ash.
Just Kingdom of Ash.
Yes. Well, thank you all for persevering and getting to the end of this book. Episode 3. We hope you enjoy the ride. We've had music, we've had very bizarre references, but we've made it out. We've made it out the other end.
There was a flaming flamingo, there's been a Haviana thong, there's been spoken word poetry.
Yep, same. Yeah.
In the meantime, find us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and go through the back catalogue. Get your ears wet with some more of our
cream. And also just give us patience with our first couple of episodes.
Yeah they're not great.
We will revisit ACOTAR.
Yeah.
We definitely will.
Yeah. After Crescent City. Because my whole thing is I would like to get through this. I'd like to do a few little bits. I'd like to get into Crescent City because once I feel like we've got all of the SJMs finished.
Could have a SJM universe.
We'll just have a huge, like, sit down, go through all the theories for everything.
Yes.
Because there's, like, little drips and drabs of, like, each of the series, and you're like, could this be more?
Okay, we're doing that. We're going to see you next week, same time-ish, as usual. Have a great week.
Love you and leave you.
Yeah. If you get sad, think back to the beach scene and the dying turtles.
But not the end beach scene with Aileen's blanket.
Oh, that beach scene. Oh, okay. Oh, no. Trauma. Okay, on that note, bye, everyone.
Bye.